Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstormin' with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstorminonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, but before we get to today's theme, I want to remind you, take the poll that is up on my website, put up a new poll yesterday, and the poll is real simple, yes or no question. I simply ask, will the California primary be important in choosing the Republican nominee for the 2012 presidential election, or will it all be over by the time the candidates get out here to California? So go on to my website, brainstorminonline.com, and you can cast your vote there. As soon as you cast your vote, you'll see the answers immediately, and then you'll be able to get the full response next Thursday on Thursday's show when I announce the results of the poll. Remember, you'll find that up on my website, brainstorminonline, that's brainstormin, S-T-O-R-M-I-N, online.com. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is potpourri. Each of my guests will discuss an interesting topic, no two of which are related. My first guest is a professor who wants to protect freedom of speech on the Internet. We'll examine a law before Congress that could destroy the Internet as we know it, threatening advertisers, credit card companies, research engines, and innovators. My second guest has been honored in Simon & Schuster's Top 100 Psychics in America, Who's Who in America, Who's Who in the World, and Who's Who in Television. We'll discuss ways to communicate with departed loved ones from her latest book, Seven Steps to Heaven. My third guest is a currency trader in New York, and the U.S. dollar is gaining strength because of events that are unfolding in Greece. We'll analyze the currency flows around the world and speculate what it might mean for the U.S. dollar and other world currencies. And if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Michael Carrier teaches and writes in the areas of antitrust, intellectual property, and property law at Rutgers School of Law in Camden. His book is titled Innovation for the 21st Century, Harnessing the Power of Intellectual Property and Antitrust. Michael is also editor of the volume Critical Concepts in Intellectual Property Competition. Michael is a summa cum laude graduate of Yale University and a cum laude graduate of Michigan Law School, where he was the book review editor of the Law Review. Before entering academia, he clerked in the Honorable John D. Butzner Jr.'s office, that's the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit, and he litigated antitrust, civil, intellectual property, sports cases at Covington and Burling in Washington, D.C. Joining us from the Philadelphia area, welcome to the show. How are you today, Michael?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being our guest, and thank you for being a subject matter expert, because this is become very, very topical, your area of expertise. On Wednesday, many people know that Wikipedia, Reddit, and several other websites blacked out for 24 hours in protest to a couple of laws that are before Congress. And now, you were on the show before, you're returning to the show from last June, where we actually talked about the PIPA Act that is before Senate. But just to refresh everybody's memory, let's talk about the two acts that really caused Wikipedia, Reddit, and some of the other websites to go black. They are the Protect Intellectual Property Act of 2011, that's known as PIPA, and that's a bill in the Senate. And in the House, the Stop Online Piracy Act, or SOPA. And so what are the possible implications to the Internet users in layman terms for these two laws if they were to get passed and enacted?
In layman's terms, this would basically change the internet as we know it. It would allow the government and private copyright owners to shut down any websites that they don't like. So if there's any copyrighted work that is linked to or mentioned, or you have the possibility to search for it, then those sites can be taken off the internet with basically no notice at all, and that would really change the internet.
Well, now, we just recently had another website go black because the government shut it down. It was You Uploaded or something of that name. Nature was the name of the site, and it was known for being a BitTorrent site where you could exchange files of intellectual property. I mean, that is the type of site that is trying to be targeted by both of these acts. And certainly people who write for a living, do music for a living, do stand-up comedy, whatever it might be, they want to protect the intellectual property, their work that they're putting out there. So wouldn't we want to see more of these sites be shut down simply to protect the rights of the artists that are involved?
Well, the question is, how do we protect those rights, and how do we protect the rights of all of us who do business and express ourselves on the internet every day? Piracy is a concern, and the so-called rogue websites that were at the heart of these two bills that Congress was considering really do lead to some copyright infringement that perhaps we might want to stop. But you can't go overboard. So if you have a paper cut, then the appropriate cure is a Band-Aid. It's not open-heart surgery. And so the problem is that a lot of this stuff is open-heart surgery. It is taking down these sites, even though some of these sites might actually not be as bad as it's all cracked up to be, when they never get a chance to defend themselves.
All right. My guest is Michael Carrier. So, Michael, Wikipedia, Reddit, Boing Boing, they blacked out on Wednesday to protest SOPA and PIPA. Google did a mild protest by putting a censor over their logo at the top of their page for all the people who looked and actually paid attention to it. Why did these companies feel compelled to protest by blacking out for an entire 24 hours?
The reason was to raise awareness of this issue. Basically, Hollywood and the entertainment industry have been used to getting copyright legislation that they have liked by just rushing it through Congress and hoping that no one notices. And that was exactly what was going on here. So the Protect IP Act passed unanimously out of committee, out of the Senate Judiciary Committee, in May of last year. And that was the hope, that this is called bipartisan legislation. It's shoved through there. We say, oh, we have to deal with piracy. And before you know it, we have a new law that does all this stuff. The point of the blackout on Wednesday was to raise awareness so the American people could see that this really is concerning legislation, that you could go to a website and literally all of these sites that were blacked out could be held liable under this new law, and there could be a lot of consequences. And so they want to raise awareness of this issue so people knew what was going on.
Well, the unforeseen consequences could be very, very damaging. Did the protests do any good, or is it too early to tell at this point, Michael?
I think, without overstating it, that these are some of the most incredibly successful protests I have ever seen. The number of senators that switched sides, even throughout the course of the day, was staggering, where before the protest, it seemed like in the Senate, where Majority Leader Reid was planning to have a vote on Tuesday, there were only about five senators opposed to the legislation and 40 already in favor. And then after the protest, that number basically switched, and you had at least 20 or 30 senators on record as being opposed. I saw one figure even as high as 41 senators opposed. And so I saw even this morning, Senator Reid has postponed consideration. He was going to introduce it on Tuesday and say there were concerns, but we have to move forward. But I saw today that in response to these protests and so many senators changing their minds on this legislation, he's now not going to go forward.
All right. Well, then it begs the question, if this was successful, will other protests of this nature, other blackouts by websites, follow? And will that become the new form of collective bargaining that internet sites have against governments or other organizations?
It certainly could, and it's a really interesting possibility to think about. Imagine the world before the internet, or just the world a few years ago, in which lobbyists had the power to give money to congressmen and get the laws that they wanted. And oftentimes when we think about copyright law, that's basically what happened. And then you get the power of the internet and the tech community rising up against this and saying that, you know, it's not business as usual. This can have an effect. Each one of you out there, go make a call, go send a letter to your congressman, and you know what? If millions and millions of people say that this really affects them, it could make a difference.
It definitely could. My guest is Michael Carrier. We're talking about the two laws, one in front of Congress, one in front of the Senate, the Stop Online Piracy Act, SOPA, and the Protect Intellectual Property Act, PIPA. So, Michael, who stands to benefit if the legislation is passed? Who stands to lose if the legislation is passed?
If the legislation is passed, the entertainment industry, by which I mean Hollywood and the record labels primarily, would benefit in that they could go after websites that they don't like. So if they see a website that has some of their copyrighted content, they could sue to shut it down. They could go to the Department of Justice and say, you shut it down. And so in the short term, it would seem like they would be the winners. But at the end of the day, I don't really think they'll be the winners because I analogize this to the whack-a-mole game. They whack, they whack one mole and 10 others pop up. It is impossible to stop every possible aspect of piracy, to stop every single work that's out there, because that's the nature of the internet. And so even if it seems like they're winning in the short term, I don't think they're going to win in the long term. And what's clearer is that the losers are going to be all of us that rely on the internet to share ideas, to share work, to comment on copyrighted work, to send YouTube videos, to offer user-generated content, to expect the internet to be an open place. All of us would lose under this legislation.
All right, my guest is Michael Carrier. So, Michael, looking at and saying that the entertainment industry would be the industry to win, I don't care how you look at either SOPA or PIPA, it's bad for us here in California because the bill really pits two of our biggest industries here in the state against one another. The entertainment industry, the media with film and music on one side, and technology and the internet on the other side. So how do you see this thing playing out, and can any good of this come for the state of California as you see it?
You're absolutely right that California confronts this issue more directly than any other place in the United States, because you really do have the heart of the entertainment industry and the tech industry. And so the question then becomes, what do we do going forward? Is there a solution that really would make everyone happy? And that's what Congress is talking about now. Okay, we'll scrap these two bills, come up with something else. At the end of the day, I'm not sure if there is one solution that will make everyone happy. My solution is a little broader. And I say, you know, tech community, you pretty much have it right here. We don't want to mess with the internet. And if we want to have some sort of restriction on these rogue websites, let's do it as narrowly as possible. Let's give due process so we don't catch any legitimate websites by accident, and let's make sure that they really do have no other purpose, because a lot of sites that initially look bad sometimes have some good purposes. And my solution would be to have a little more innovation. So in terms of Hollywood and the entertainment industry, my sense is that if there were a little more innovation rather than playing the whack-a-mole game with piracy, that all of a sudden there might be a little less piracy. You look at the history over the last 10, 15 years with music. I think one of the reasons why people did pirate and take copyrighted works is because they didn't want to, for example, buy the $18 CD
right,
when they just wanted to have one song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead.
But iTunes took care of that. I mean, we've got a very workable solution that the music industry is happy with, the technology industry is happy with, everybody's happy with the iTunes solution.
Sure. So iTunes did serve a market need, but the question is, would there be other things out there if there would have been quicker adoption of these new business models, so you don't have the iTunes monopoly? There are other things that are out there. So, look, piracy is not a good thing. You shouldn't be able to go out and get all of these copyrighted works. But the question is, how much is being offered so you don't need to pirate if the services offered are even better?
All right. My guest is Michael Carrier, author of the book Innovation for the 21st Century. We're talking about the SOPA bill and the PIPA bill, both in Congress right now. What position does the Obama administration take on this, Michael?
Well, I think one of the main changes that happened in the last week that went against this bill was not just the blackouts on Wednesday, but also a statement released by the Obama White House over the weekend that said that they could not support the bills as written. that they think that piracy is a problem, but that these pieces of legislation just have too many problems. They reach too broadly. They impact free speech too much, so that therefore they would not support the legislation. And I think there was one, that was one part of the push, and there really was so many pushes over the past 7 days or so that really have now pushed these legislations off.
All right. Well, Michael, let's bring it back into the realm of politics here, but on a more local level. Our Congressman Elton Gallagher, who's a Republican from Simi Valley, says that SOPA is needed to prevent piracy. That's his goal line, and he said that as recently as yesterday. He wants SOPA and PIPA to protect the film industry and the recording industry. But here's my question. Why do old white men, and what do they really understand about the Internet and what's at stake here? I mean, they were born before the digital revolution. Can they really understand the facts, or do they have enough knowledge to hire the right advisors to even understand the facts?
Well, if they don't understand the facts, then I'm not sure how we would be confident that they would hire the right advisors.
My point.
Yeah, and so one example I saw of Mel Watt from North Carolina, who is the ranking member in charge of the Intellectual Property Committee, that almost was bragging about how little he knew about the Internet. And it certainly is true that you look at these hearings that basically did not include any technologists or Internet experts, and it's sort of dismissed as geeks. What do the geeks know? When they're the ones who actually know the infrastructure and the pipes of the Internet and how the Internet works. Innovation and the Internet changes so quickly that we really want to make sure we think everything through before we go messing it up. I mean, it's been so important for innovation, and so I really would want to make sure that Congress knows what it's doing before it passes such a broad law like this.
I agree with you exactly. My guest is Michael Carrier, author of the book Innovation for the 21st Century. We're talking about the SOPA and the PIPA bills in front of Congress right now. Michael, you've probably intrigued people with your vast knowledge on this subject. If they wanted to learn more about you, learn maybe more about your book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
I would just direct them to my website. So I teach at Rutgers Law School. Easy enough to find. Just type in Michael Carrier Rutgers on Google. I'll pop up. And then you can see all the things that I have been working on. You'll see there's a book. So I wrote a book on a bunch of these issues, how we could get more innovation. And there are links to Amazon with Kindle and paperback versions there. So I would just direct you to the Rutgers website that has all this information.
Oh, that is great. Michael, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks for having me.